one place to another. But since this week is the Reshiva, it's our Lake of Reshiva, the Baron Kotler, so I'll speak a little bit about him. First, I just wanted to give you a Hadon. There's a Rashi over here. There's a Rashi at the end of Yevamos that says they had a regal, they had a yontif. What was the yontif? So Rashi says that yoim shemeis bo yodim godl, a day that an odim godl was nifta, koyven oisei lechvoida, and it's yortzai. And they come every year, Talmidei Chacham Mikol Svivoi, and they buy him al kivroi lehoishiv yeshiva. They put a yeshiva on top of his kever. What does that mean? You ever see a yeshiva in a Beis Olam in a cemetery? You don't see no yeshivas. What does it mean? So I thought the pshat is with Gemara and Bava Kama. It's the beginning of Bava Kama, so you probably learned it. It's not at the end. It says over here, Gemara by Chizkio HaMelech. Zion. It says, a pasuk says, "Hosh, it was covered also like the Moisai." They gave him covered right after he was nifchisyol hamelah. So Gemara says, "Malamed they put a yeshiva al kivrei." So Tosis says, "Why did they put a yeshiva? Because he was marbet Torah b'Yisrael." So yes, you know, when you go into Beis Olam, you put in your tzitzis because it's loy l'rosh. You're not allowed to make a bracha next to a kever because they can't do mitzvahs. It says it's loy l'rosh. So Tosis says they went dalet amos away. But the Marsha says a different shot. The Marsha says, what do you mean you make yeshiva? He says, it doesn't mean you sat and you learned Torah. He says, you said a hesped and you spoke about his milus. So male could be on his keva, because that's why they shall mess. So what do we see from here? We see from here that there's an inyan on a yard site. Okay, today's not the yard site. This week is the yard site. So there's an inyan of talking about another gadol. Now, just to say over one sefer chinuch. There's a mitzvah over here, you have to listen to Talmidei Chachamim. You have to do what they say. So, it says it in the Torah, it says it by Sanhedrin. Sefer chinuch says it goes on Talmidei Chachamim in every door. Who's a Talmud Chacham? So he says, someone that goes with the Mesorah. Not he makes new ideas. You know, you have these people coming, all the way the yeshivas learn is no good, you have to make new ways, new methods. He says, no, if you learn with the Mesorah from before, and you learn from your Rebbeim, and you makabel their HaTorah, how to live from your Rebbeim, so that's called the Talmud Chacham, and in every door, loy sosim, and adov, rashiyuch, yimin, and smol. Reb Moshe used to say, when people used to call him up for an Eitza, so he had a secretary called Reb Moshe Rivlin. Maybe you remember him from Amo. So he used to, Reb Moshe said he gave an Eitza, he used to say on the extension, the Reshiva Halt, when a Talmud Chochen gives an Eitza, you have to listen. That's what it says over here. Lo sosim and adov, the Eitzas they give. So I always tell people, let's say someone goes for an Eitza, and then you're not going to listen. So I tell people, and they go into a big Rosh Yeshiva, they go into a Rebbe, I'm coming to talk to you about it. But if you go into another Gadol, and you ask him, what am I supposed to do, and he tells you what to do, then you really have to listen. But the best thing is, you're coming to Redzach Duch. Okay, I just wanted to say that for Agdoma. I wanted to tell you a few mises. Everyone knows on the Rosh Yeshiva that his Avas HaTorah, his Hasmoda, was unbelievable. Like when he said a shiur, I'll tell you the truth, he said a shiur, he would say in 1 hour, there was Rababa Berman who was just Nifta. See, once came to visit Lakewood, and he heard a shiur from the Rashiva, that was negated to the Masechet, he was saying, he came for a rest, but I was close to him, Bad L'chaim, and I drove him afterwards to the bus. So he told me what your Rosh Yeshiva said in 1 hour, I could say 10 shiurim. And he took that 1 hour, and he said for a few weeks, and he was a big guy in Rav Avraham Berman, from that shiur. He used to talk very fast, he didn't repeat himself. You had to really listen good. So it wasn't so tough, to be honest with you, the beginning of the shiur was easy to know. The Gemara, the Rambam, the Chakiris, the all 10 kashas. The first teretz, but then when he started popping, it was very hard. If you only heard it once, any normal, even a good head, couldn't follow him. But even when we couldn't follow towards the end, it was Yeshir Navas HaTorah. What do you mean Yeshir Navas HaTorah? If you looked at his face, every teretz, every svar, his face was shining with such simcha. The only mashal I could give you is, you ever see pictures of someone that wins a lottery? There's someone in America just a couple weeks that won $85 million. Oh, he only ended up with $30 million. The government took away the rest. But you ever see a smile on someone who wins a lottery? The pictures in the papers, his face is shining. By him, every svar was more than $1 million. So you saw in him avas haTorah. And he writes, if you have avas haTorah, if you get to it, Mesukim midvash v'noifes sufim, Chazal say amelus b'tor, that's masel from the Yetzer. He says, why? Because if you enjoy the learning, you have enjoyment. It's better than all the inyani ayilam hazeh. It's more. A ruchni is dikis simcha is much more. And I'll tell you a poshut, the reason why. I once heard from one of the Bali Musa, Reb Chaim Zaychik, if you remember, he was from the Navardika. See, he learned pshat in the Medrash, takin pashas chayisar. He said like this. He used these words. If you do a mitzvah, if you learn good one day, if you daven good one day, if you did chesed, or you were kovish es yitzroi, you did something positive. Something positive, you feel good about it. But even if you'll think about it a year later, it'll give you chizik. Like if you think back, we all have that. You know, the Rabbeinu Tam says, every person has yomim toivim and yomroim. This is the Rishai. So you have good, you know, some days you get up, everything goes good. Some days you get up, everything goes wrong. Any step you take, it goes wrong. So he says, if you have yomim royim, you're going to have yomim toivim also. And if you had yomim toivim already, just think about the good days. So when it comes to ruchnius, even if you did something good a year ago, you think, boy, I was good. So if I was good that day, I could be good this day. But gashmius, let's say you go to a restaurant and you have the best meal, gourmet meal, everything perfect. 2 hours later, you're hungry. You'll think about the meal. Your stomach is still hurting you. Gashmius doesn't last. At the moment, you have it and then it's gone. Then you need something new and something new and something new. But in ruchnius, if you enjoy ruchnius, Your life is made. Forget about Olam Haba. You have Olam Hazeh, Rebel Yelapian, as Altazev used to say. A Ben Torah, it's written in the Shmuzin, I think I once heard it on the tape. A Ben Torah doesn't have, people think if you're a Ben Torah and you're learning in a kolo and you don't have money and you live in a little junky apartment and you're always worried where the next value, you don't go dress so nice. So these people, they're bringing a carbon. They're giving up Olam Hazeh for Olam Haba. He says, no, a Ben Torah has Olam Hazeh. Like the Rishiva always used to say, these people always have to have new. You can have homes that have new carpets. A year later, you have to have a new one. You have to always have a new car. You always have to have new. Everything is good. What do you need new? Like ladies, they always need a new dress, a new dress, a new dress. What's wrong with you have? You have a closet full of things. Because if you feel an emptiness in you, that you don't have ruchnius, so you think you'll compensate with having Olam Hazeh. Doesn't compensate. If you have ruchnius, you don't need. Chavos Chaim used to say, we say a pasuk, you say in Birkas HaMazon, the Dorshe Hashem lo yachsru chol toiv. Dorshe Hashem are not missing. They're not missing it. They don't need all the junk in the world, all the flesh and everything that looks nice, and it looks nice on the outside. Like when you go into a bakery, the most fancy cakes don't taste so good. But all the icing there, it doesn't have a good taste. The simple things, they taste even better. If someone has ruchnius, your life is made. If someone enjoys learning, you have it made. That's what we saw by him. We saw this midah of avas haTorah. Reb Schneer once said over, soon his yahrzeit also, Reb Schneer said over that one time the Rishiva wasn't feeling good. So he was in bed for a day, which was unusual. So he wasn't getting better. So he went and he said his shiur and he felt better. The shiur straightened him out. You know, Reb Aaron Leib Steinman runs all over the world. I was by him the other day, and when he walked in from saying his shiur, he should hardly walk, he's so weak. And I know when I come to Eretz Yisrael, I have jet lag. Here he runs to America, to Mexico, to South America. So before he left, I heard this from the Rav Weiss, the one who goes with him. He's a Rav in Shechen, I don't know, somewhere in Ramot. So he says, the doctors told him, don't take the trip. You can't do it. So he says, the doctors don't know my ruchnius. Taka Alpi Teva, how does a person like that, you ever see what he looks like? He looks like he's just going to collapse any second. And here he runs all over the whole world. What gives him the drive? Ruchnius. Ruchni, a person that has Ruchni, is you have it made. I'll tell you a story that I heard from the person. There's a Yid who used to live in my neighborhood. Al Rashom is Nifta last year. He was a lawyer. He died in Young Israel Flatbush. And he told me such a story. I'm telling you the words he said. It can't be a made-up story. He lived in Toms River, New Jersey, not too far from Lakewood. And he says, you know, during World War II, there was something called draft dodges. If you learned in a yeshiva, it didn't take you into the army. So people went to the yeshiva because they weren't interested in learning. They didn't want to go into the army. So he says he was learning in Tarvadas. 1945, the war ended, so he went to college. He left Tarvadas, he became a lawyer. Then was the Korean War a few years later, and he was drafted. He was out of yeshiva already. So it was 3 days before he had to go, and he got real scared. Now, who knows, they could send him to Korea. So many thousands of American soldiers were killed in Korea. So he said he heard there's a big tzaddik in Lakewood, and he went to him for a bracha. So he comes into the yeshiva, and he asks him for a bracha. The yeshiva said, I don't give brachas. I'm not a man that gives brachas. Says, but I'll give you an etza. Be makabel on yourself that you learn Torah every day. He probably meant the Mishnah, call a makabel of old Torah, mavir menu old malchus. So he said, I can't promise you. I said, I don't know if I could do it. He was honest. So he says, but then I got real scared. He says, okay, I'm makabel. I'm telling you the words the way he said it. So then he told Rashi, now give me a bracha. Says, you don't understand. If you're makabel to learn Torah, that's the bracha. That in itself, someone who learns Torah, that's bracha. Like everybody goes, the Baba Sali used to take bottles of water. I remember I was once coming into New York, and there was a person in front of me with the customs. Only open up their suitcase, water starts dripping. The bottle from the Baba Sali broke. But people think you take the water, you put a red ribbon around your hand, you take a krittle, you know, 1, 2, 3, you go into a rebbe, you go into a tzaddik, a mekubel, you get a bracha, an easy way out. It doesn't work. You're not masliach like that. The Rashi was telling him, this is not slacha. So he was makabel, he was in the south, you know, when he's boot camps, training camps. They asked the sergeant asked, who knows bookkeeping? He didn't know bookkeeping, but all you know is you ever see, you know, the soldiers in the south, they're called rednecks, you know, you ever see, they're not too smart. He said, okay, I know bookkeeping. So he got a job in the office, and he says, I sat for 2 years, I learned every day, and I didn't go overseas. It's not a moifus. Torah has the koyach. The rest of what Rashi used to say, like Chavos Chaim used to say, people used to come to him in brachas. He says, keep Shabbos. Kihin makar habracha. Agav Rucha, I was by Chaim Kenevsky Thursday, and I asked him, what happened in America? What are we supposed to do, you know, with the treifas? He says, Mazeh osa Hashem lonu. You know, it was terrible. I know I ate once at a chasna Muncie 5 years ago, chicken. It was treif. Like, what, you know, so many times, what are you supposed to do? So he said a maaseh with his father. That Yid once came to his father in the middle of the night, Friday night, by, you know, half asleep, he put on the lights. So he asked, what's a tikkun? So the stipler told him, learn Hilchas Shabbos. So he told me, learn Hilchas Machalas Asuris. In other words, Torah was a timtum. We fell into a trap. Okay, Chaim Kanevsky held his carved loinus. Machlokes HaPoiskim, you know, you had a mashgiach, yeah, this guy was a so-called from Yid, and we fell into a trap. So he said, you're close to a ninus. The Nitziv, there's a Nitziv that says not like that, it's Metamtam HaLev. Treifus itself, even if you don't, for example, a Kohen is allowed to go into Beis HaKvaros with Pikuach Nefesh. Pikuach Nefesh is Doicha, but he becomes Tamei. Taka, he's a ninus. But that's the Matthias, so that's the Machloikas HaPoiskim. When you eat Nivellus and Trefus, is because it's an Aveira, or it's because it's a Shtik Tumma. I mean, that's the. So he said, learn Halacha. If you learn Torah, Torah does everything. Someone told me, one of the old Kletzke Talmidim, when he first came to learn the Yeshiva, he came into the Yeshiva, and they said, you can't talk to the Yeshiva. He's in bed, he was spitting up blood. You know, in Europe, TB was very Shriach. They didn't have antibiotics. If someone had tuberculosis, then he didn't have it, but he was spitting blood. So finally he got into the room where the Rashiva was. He was laying in bed with a rajba. He was preparing, he was learning Be'iyun, like you learn in a Beis Medrash with a Rashba. He was laying in bed, he was spitting blood. But what he was learning, you know why? How could he do it? If it's something you enjoy, you could do it day and night. Something you have a chiyus in. Now, let's be practical. It's very hard to get a chiyus in learning. It doesn't come so easy. It only comes from hard work first. There's a medrash that says, Torah is daima l'shemen. Ma shemen, tchilosei mar, shemen zayis, olive oil, tchilosei mar v'soifei mosuk. The same thing is with Torah. Torah, it's hard in the beginning. To break through, to be able to, I know when I started learning a whole day, okay, I was a little younger than you probably, but I couldn't sit. The first year I couldn't sit in the afternoon, the second Seder was murder. I couldn't sit in a chair. You know, you have to, then night Seder, but after a while, if you push yourself and you break through, Tchilosei Mar B'Seifei Masik, but you have to know, if you do it, you get there. Just like if someone takes a lousy job, and he does all kinds of hard work because he knows at the end of the day he's going to get a few dollars. So you go through, I'm just using an example, it's not, this is Torah. But if you know the goal in the end, you can get there. It's a matter of time. Like this Rababa Berman was one of my Rebbeim. So he told me when I was about 18, he's saying it takes a year or two of hard work and learning till you really understand the Gemara and you know the beginning and the end and how to learn up the Pshat and how to be Medayek and how to put the Rishonim together, how to fit them into the Gemara. He says, it takes a while. I asked him, how long is it going to take? He doesn't know. When you'll get there, you'll feel it. But it's only a matter of time. For a person in Masriach and Torah, it's only a matter of time. One time, this I saw myself. In Lakewood, the old building, he had a little office. It was probably not more than this. No, a little bigger, and he had a table with a set of Shas and Rambams. And when where he sat, he saw, from his diagonally, he saw everyone who walked in and out of the Beis Medrash. If you walked in and out, he saw you. And he had a photographic, a computer mind. When he was in the Beis Medrash, he saw exactly where everyone was sitting. He knew who came on time to davening, who came late, how many times each one. He was very easy with us. But he saw everything. One time he gave me Musa. There were two buildings. There was the dining room building, and that's where he had his room on the side also, where he used to. He slept in the dormitory. He lived with us in the yeshiva. And then he had to walk to the Beis Medrash to the other building. So one time the Seder started at 9:30. I was eating breakfast late. It was 20 to 10. And he sees me. He walks over to me with a big smile, and he says, the Seder starts 9:30. I wasn't late for a long time after that. That's all he had to say. He never yelled at a bacha, never. That's the way he worked. But when you saw him, so he was in this little room. Let's say the second Seder started 4 o'clock. You know what I mean? Like here, 4 o'clock, it's already starting to get dark. And he was standing by the table with the Gemara. And he was standing like this. The lights weren't on. 5 o'clock, it's completely dark. He's still standing over the Gemara. 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, and every time we walked past, we saw he standing over the Gemara. In other words, he was so fatifed in learning, he didn't realize it was getting dark. He just standing in one spot, chuckling a little. And we were clearing, should we go in and put in the lights? We said, no. We wanted to see how long. He was there about 3 hours, just standing there in one spot and thinking and learning. That's Avas Hatur. That's learning. When he used to go on vacation, he used to go to a hotel. In Fleischmann, New York, it's near where Camp Agudah used to be, near High Mountain, New York. It's not far from Hunter, that place, the other side of the mountains. It was a hotel. So the owner of the hotel told me when he came out of the car, he was holding a Gemara in his hands open. You know, when he went on vacation, no one bothered him too much. He brought a Rambam, he brought a Chassam Sofer, he brought a Reb Chaim with an Ur Sameach. And he had a special place where he sat. That's how he relaxed. When we learn during the year, we have to relax. We got to get away. You have to go climb mountains, wherever you go, whatever you're doing. That's how he relaxed. He relaxed when he sat over and learning. If you enjoy something, you could learn and you can. I saw it myself. And I saw it by many people. Sometimes you're in a bad mood. Something goes wrong. You sit down by a Gemara. You're in a different world. You're in the world of Abaye Varava. Like when people take drugs, what do they take drugs for? Because they're dreaming. They're going into a dream world, so they don't have to face reality around them. They don't have to see all their problems. They forget it for a minute. A Gemara is better than drugs. You sit down with a Gemara, you start learning, you get a geschmack, you forget about all your tzaras, and then when you finish learning, you see that your problems are not so bad. That's a problem you could have, but you know, the world, it's not the end of the world. That's the Koyach HaTorah. That's the Koyach of learning that you saw right there. I'll tell you another Merdeka Maisa. I heard this from the Baldov. His name was Rebero Peck, one of the Kletzka Talmidim. He said like this, right before the war broke out, before they ran away, he was talking and learning with the Rashiva and the Yerushalmi. He asked the Rashiva Kasha, and he told him the Teretz and the Yerushalmi, and then the Rashiva escaped to America. He ended up in Siberia. 5 years later, he walks into Lakewood. Rashiva came, he was stuck in Siberia. Rashiva came to America before the war. He walks into to him, and the Rashiva says to him, "You remember the Teretz I told you on the Rishalmi 5 years before? I have a different shot." How did he have it on his head? Because he was a photographic memory? I don't think so. Something you enjoy, you remember years later. It says on the Chassam Sofer, he never forgot a Gemara. Think back. Something that happened when you were 3 years old, your bar mitzvah. Something that was special in your life. Don't you remember it years later? Not because you have a good memory, because it's in you. It says the Chassam Sofer, every Gemara was like he got $1 million. So every Gemara he remembered. That's how the Rashi remembered the Rishalmi. But he didn't say a word to him, how'd you live through the wars? He says he felt very bad. He came from Kletzk, his family was close to Rashi. He went through the war 5 years. He doesn't even ask him what happened. He says he gave him chavrusas. Bein Azman, and when it came Tisha B'Av, he called him in, "Now tell me everything you lived through." But during this month, he wouldn't talk to him. Just gave him a chavrus, he told him Shat Nirishalmi, what they spoke, and then Bein Azman, he wanted to hear every little thing that happened. Because he told me, and he had a brother also, he wrote a sefer about the Rashi, someone Pekka, and he also wrote a sefer, I don't know if you saw it in English, from Kletz to Siberia, you see it around. So he told me also, he was with his brother. The Rashiva found out in America where they weren't in Siberia. First they were in Siberia, then there's Asian Russia, Samarkand. It's very hot weather. So the Rashiva sent them packages. He says those packages saved their lives. Soap, sardines, it was worth it, who knows, in those places. That's how they lived from. See, so yeah, the Rashiva took care of them, but he didn't ask him a word. Till Bein Azman. Reb Leib Hyman, if you heard him, he's the Rav over here in... he's over here, the Rav, in the, what's the Gegen? Vayit Vagan, he's a Rav there. He's a Lakewood Talmud. See, once he was very close to Rashi. Rashi once said he's Shia and Lo Yachba. I don't know what Masechta Yalei now, but Basra. And he doesn't know why. After the Shia, he asked the Rashiva, like, he says, "When were you Machavish this Shia?" He says it was during World War I in Minsk. They had to run away. The bombs were falling, or they were shooting, and that's when he was Mechavis this year. And Reb Mendel Kravitz, he was Rashiv Yakiyoy, says he remembers when the bombs were falling, the Rashiv was in a different world. He was learning. He was in Torah. I just myself a difference, though. I had a son who used to daven in my shul, his father. I don't know who you have, from the Gerach Sidon, the Talmud Chacham, I remember which yeshiva he learned in. Said his Levaya, someone got up and said, in the concentration camp, he was pushing a wagon, whatever job he had, he was talking and learning with the guy next to him. In the concentration camp, starving, he was talking and learning. And that's the pshat in the pasuk, where they have the nigin lulei, teroscha shashuai, ozavadati ba'anyi. And Rashiv used to tell them, even though it was Kalbach's nigin, he was Mechadish, I think, when he was learning in Lakewood. I was sitting there. Rashi used to tell Bachman, you know, he didn't let him into the yeshiva after a while. I'll tell you what happened with Kalbach once. You know, he was a very funny guy. Now they made him into a saint, but when he was young, he's brilliant. He was a brilliant person. It's too bad that he could have accomplished 1,000 times more than he did, even though he had a lot of chassidim. Now, I heard when he was in San Francisco, there were more Bali Tshuva coming to the Bali Tshuva yeshivas from San Francisco when he was there. So, one time he came to the yeshiva, he came to a Sheva Brachas in the yeshiva, and all of a sudden, and he's before the Sheva Brachas, it was an old building, he put his guitar under the table. And then he took out the guitar in the middle of the Sheva Brachas, and he was playing it. The yeshiva liked him very much. The yeshiva begged him not to go where he went, but it's a shod. But this, even though they didn't hold from him that it, but he, okay, he had good things. I went off the topic, but I'll tell you my opinion of him. I knew him a little bit. He had a koicha negina. That the negina was from his neshama, really. I mean, it was really his negunim come from his heart. He had a lot of good points, but at the same time, he had a lot of bad points. He was a mixed up person. But a lot of his negunim, you could feel it from the heart. So this nigun, the Rashi used to tell us to sing, Lule Tarosa Shashuai, if not for the Torah that gives me geshmak, all zavadati, I would be lost on ye in my problems. So that nigun, he liked them to sing. Once he was, when he was preparing the shia, Bacha told me, who was learning with him, preparing the shia, all of a sudden he gave a jump. He says, Smeichem kini sinasa misinai. V'simcha. He said, Gvaldik Esvara, his face lit up. That's Torah. I can tell you many more mices of, when he was in the hospital, he got sick like this. That Simchas Torah we saw now in Elul. I was once talking to him in Elul right before he got sick. He called me over to talk to him about something, and all of a sudden he started coughing. His face got red. He says, "Call the car." No, they didn't figure out. I don't know why they couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. That Simchas Torah you saw, he was sick. I happened to be the gabbai. The gabbai for the, you know, for the comforts, for the Elias. I was the gabbai, one of the gabbaiim in the base marriage. So he told me like this, Zog the Bochum, tell the Bochum not to drink. He says, why? He says, drinking is for the guf. A Simchas Torah has to be dveikus with the neshama, not with the guf. He didn't like the whole business. And Purim also used to give musa, but it didn't help so much. He used to give also musa, not to drink. But he didn't like the whole business. But on Simchas Torah, he said, that's not the simcha. The simcha has to be with dveikus, with ruchnius. He never danced. He never danced. But when they said Moshe Emes, he was an old man, he jumped all the way up by Moshe Emes. But dancing, he didn't. But that's what that was one of the things he told me. He was once at a meeting, you know, all kinds of askonim, and people get up and they talk and talk and talk and don't say anything, you know, do this. You know, sometimes people like to have it. So an askin went over to him. He told me, someone in David only says, Rosh Yeshiva, what do you have to sit there and listen to all this talk? So he says, I promise you, I'm thinking and learning the whole time. I'm sitting there thinking and learning. And they once said over from his Rebbetzin that she said that he could think about two things at the same time. You know, there's such a koyach. Alfin Kellum, he was once talking with someone, all of a sudden he says, Abba de Rajba bleib schwer. There's a kirk, there are people who have compartments in their head, big people, that they can think two things at the same time. So I went over to Tayesta, how do you know that he could think two things? And I was very close with her. How do you know he could think two things at the same time? So she told me such a story. When he used to write a letter, once he had to write a letter to Ben Gurion about who was a Jew, and had to write letters to congressmen, it had to be in English. He didn't really know English, but he called in someone that knows English, and he asked them, what does this word mean? Could it mean this? Could it mean that? He wanted to make sure that they're not misinformed, that they're making a mistake of what he says. Like by him, everything was a shia. There was no such thing, you just did something stamazai. So when he was writing a letter then for Chinuch Atzmoy, he was very orangutan. And she said she had to ask him something. So while she was talking to him, he was writing. So she said to him, she was crying to me, she wasn't nightly covered. Alavai, every wife should be nightly covered like her. So she said, oh, but you're not listening to me. He says, you keep talking, and I'll tell you afterwards every word that you said. See, he was writing a letter, bi'iyun, and she was talking, and he heard everything she had to say. That's a gvaldik koyach. Even though he was a big Ely, he knew hundreds of telephone numbers by heart. He had a cheshmet. He once had to, I had to send him, he wanted to have a lawyer. Vashve was a lawyer, and he was an expert in inheritance laws. And a lot of times, old people left money to the yeshiva, big amounts of money, and what did the kids do? They mavatal the will, they wanted the money for themselves. So he wanted to have a lawyer who'll know how to write an ironclad will that they won't be able to do any of these things. So he said he's going to send the car to pick up my shver. So he called me in the day before. He says, what's the address? So I told him the address is 138 Ross Street. So I started writing, enough to write it down. There's a sefer from Chal Klach Pischei Chochma, Kuflam and Ches. So I asked the driver a week later, did he give you the right address? He said, yeah. He had a head, he could take in everything. But that wasn't why he was so big. He was big because when he learned, he worked hard. Like now, he writes the Ikiz Amelus Betaro. Now you have everything. I have nothing against art scroll Gemaras, or you have everything on computers, every block Gemara. If you want to know a Shaila, once in the country, we wanted to know a Shaila. We had a Shaila on there, we didn't know what it was. So someone took out his computer, his laptop, and he found there was a tshuva that speaks about this Shaila. It was written in the early 1900s. You can get everything you want, but it won't go into your head if you don't work. You could have all the things, you could have all the tapes, you have everything. It's very good. It's a help. But that doesn't guarantee you'll know anything. The only time you'll know something is if you have to work hard. People think today's generation is instant gratification. Everything has to go easy. Everything has to be relaxed. Everything has to be, like once in the Jewish Observer, they were advertising some kind of a bicycle machine. So they show a guy sitting on the bicycle with a iced tea in one hand, and the Gemara on the, you know, on the top of these, you know, these exercise bicycles, and he's sitting with his thing and he's looking at the Gemara and he's doing exercise. They didn't let it be the next month. That's not the way you learn. You're learning, you have to work hard. That's why it's hard to know how to learn, because there's no shortcuts. You can have everything, you can memorize everything, it doesn't go in. Torah is only with Amelus. You have to work hard, and if you're not ready to work hard, you won't get there. That's the Metzius of Torah. I'll tell you about Maisa that happened in Kovna. When he was a Bach in Yeshiva, he was about 15 years old, he was learning in Slabodka Yeshiva. Now Slabodka Yeshiva is it's a suburb, it's walking distance over a bridge into Kovna. Kovna was a big city, and there was a big Asifus Rabbonim in Kovna. Three of the Gdoli Hadar were there. There was someone called Reb David Karlin, he was Rabbi Karlin, the Yad David, and there were Chaim Briska and the Arsameach. Like the three all went out. So they all came to Slabodka Yeshiva for the Yeshiva. So Rabbi David Karlin was the oldest, they were mechabedim to say a shir. The Yeshiva spoke in learning with Rabbi Chaim Briska, and it's written in his psalm, Hertzeisi Lefnei HaGrach. And the Rabbi Chaim Briska, he sent this over to show the heads that these Gedolim had. And he says, you're the Sislevich Adayan. He came from a town called Sislevich, his father was a Adayan. He says, you're the Sislevich Adayan's son. He became a Yosem before 11 years old. So he said, how do I know you're a sister with the dying son? I spoke and learned with your father 25 years ago, and I see the way his head works. I see the way your head works. You have to be his son. 25 years ago, he spoke to someone in learning. You see what kind of kept the Gedolim had? And then he spoke and learned with the Arsameach. And the Arsameach gave him a bracha. So his Rebbetzin told me, she asked him, what was the bracha? I'll advise on Mekuyim Ver, and I'll advise it happened. He never said out what bracha he got from the Ramea Simcha. But he was a young boy, and all the Gedolim were misspoiled from him when he was 15 years old. And they seen him, his best shiurim are on Masechta Yevamos. That's the best, on Chardal and Bav Basra. That was the best shiurim. He was machadish most of them when he was 15, 16 years old. Then he added to it. So they say in him that for 6 months he came out, didn't leave the Beis Medrash, except when he had to go out. But he sat and learned, and he fell asleep on the shtender. They say that was his main learning. Those 6 months was the best time of his life. Because why? He came out, didn't leave the Beis Medrash. He was like, even when he was old, except in America now, but in Europe, before he said his shir, he was up the whole night. And even in Lakewood, he said he's shirim for 50 years. He didn't just take out his notes, look at his notes and get up and say, he learned over the Gemara, and he learned over the Rashi, and the Tosfos, and he made all the diyukim like it would be the first time he learned it. Then he said the shir. He didn't just use his notes. One time he gave a zog, there's a Rambam, Pshim Tamazik. He gave his dog, Fertzikyo, 40 years. I'm trying to figure out Pshat in this Rambam, and it's still not good. who could say 40 years of his life, of course he didn't learn it every minute, but he had it on his mind. 40 years, the Matas of Chamon Rambam. That's why he knew how to learn. Now, of course he was an Ilui. There's a lot of Iluim around. That doesn't mean, it's only if you work hard. And he used to always talk to us about tefillah. He says, look, said like this, you're davening anyway. You're stuck with it, right? You have to daven three times a day. You're there. So use that time, daven like you're supposed to. And he said, if you daven good, you'll steig in amelus b'tayra. It'll help you be a masmid. From tefillah, you can accomplish everything. Doesn't mean it's going to happen in one day. Nothing happens in one day. Like, you know, little kids, they like to measure how tall they are. So every day they'll go over to the chart, they won't see themselves growing. You ever notice when you go away for the summer and you come home, if you have little brothers and sisters, they look much taller. But if you'd be with them, you wouldn't see it. You don't see it every day. But every little bit you put in, every little effort you put in, every little word, you're daven good. And the stipple used to always say, the davening is not just the official davening, Baruch Alein, Slach Lon, Hashem, Abadet, Astika davening, but a person has to be mispal for their ruchnias. Whatever a person needs, whatever you're missing, you could be mispal, you could talk in English, you could talk to the Eberster, and the Eberster listens to tefillahs. And the Medrash says, even if it's not answered right away, it could be answered in 5 years. But no tefillah that comes from your heart is ever lost. It's going to do something. And use the mon, if you'll daven good, you'll learn better. Another thing he always used to say is limud ha-musa. A person has to learn musa. He says like this. I'm talking about the big going. He says, you don't have to say chidushim. You don't have to learn the musa like you learn a Rambam. Like the Mesilzer, he quotes the Mesilzer Sharman as Hagdoma. What I'm telling you is Dvorim Pshutim, but we forget about it. He says to take Dvorim Pshutim, Hashem Hulikim, Torah Min HaShemayim, Torah is the Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, take something simple. Yira Shemayim Hi Yitzorai, take a simple thing and just go over it and over it and over it till you internalize it. V'yadat HaYoyim, we know everything. It has to be Vashe Voisel Vavecha. You have to take it into your heart. And he writes very strongly, Loimid al Manas L'Kayim. If you learn, if you don't learn al Manas L'Kayim, so then it's like any chochm in the world, like Lahavdul, any course that you take. When you have to learn, you have to think, I want to live with this Torah. Torah is called Torah's Chayim. Torah is life. Ki heim chayenu. If you realize Torah is life, what does it say? Uvehem negi yom halayla. Something that's your life, you'll think about when you walk in the streets too. You have to internalize it. It's hard. But that's the way to do it. Limud ha-musa. And it says from the Bali Musa, I saw from Bissel Petterberg, it's very interesting. Rebelli Lapian Yazeda was once in America, was in America once for 2 weeks. So I had this chus. I was learning in the Min, he was talking in Borough Park. So it was a cold winter afternoon, Shabbos afternoon, and when we walked to Borough Park, it was worth it. So he said like this, when Ichab Giret mit Rebissel Petterberg, he's saying, I spoke to Rebissel, that was a Talmid Reb Yisrael, and I spoke to Avtoli Amsterdam. And he was quoting, like when we saw him, we saw 100 years back. He was quoting the biggest people. So Rebissel Petterberg writes, from his Rebbe, Rebbe Saul Salanta, anyone who learns Musa, eventually it'll be Oyla al Kol B'nei Gilay. He'll steig over everyone else. If someone learns Musa, it means you work on yourself, you want to improve yourself, you'll grow. You won't see it right away, but in the long run you'll get it. Then he says in the Shmuz, this I heard on the tape, what Sfarim are you supposed to learn? He says it doesn't matter. He says you can learn Musa Sfarim. He says Chassidus Sfarim. He had no shaykhs to Chassidus, but he says Chassidus Sfarim. You can learn Ben Yishayahu Sfarim. You can learn any Sfarim, Sefer in English. Anything that gives you a lift. And, you know, there's certain Sfarim that speak to you, and we all have different neshamas. You all have different neshamas. So everyone, whatever Sefer you feel lifts you up, that's what you have to learn. I just remind myself to end off with one word. From the Chofetz Chaim, the Rosh Hashiv used to say it also. It says there's a pasuk im tavachenu kekesef. You look for it like money. V'chat mat mamonim tach besena. If you'll search for it like you search for hidden treasure, oz tov in yiras Hashem v'tas alekem timsa. Then you'll get Yerushalayim. So the Chofetz Chaim gives a mashal like this. A father, right before his nifta, he tells his children, you know, in Europe there was always uprisings and different governments. So once he was in that neighborhood, he was afraid he'll lose all his money. And this wealthy person had 10,000 rubles. That's like probably a few million dollars today. So he says, I was afraid they're going to come in, you know, the Kazakhs, this one, that one. So this mountain, right after the town, I put 1,000 rubles in each sack, and I hid it in that mountain. So right away they went started digging. Like every day they went digging and digging. They found 9. They didn't stop. There's one more sack with 1,000 rubles. It's a few million dollars, let's say. They'll never stop. He says, every one of our neshomas stood on Har Sinai. The Rishi always used to say this over. And every one of our neshomas was makabel his chelik in Torah. And that's what you say in davening. The same chelkeinu b'sarasecha. The chelik of Torah that our neshomas was makabel. And I saw from the Goyim, you all know the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Amalek learns with every child Torah in before he's born. And then when he comes out, he forgets it. So Vilna Gaon says, what Torah did he learn with him? The Torah, all our neshama stood on Har Sinai, and the chelik of Torah that our neshama was makabel, that's what the Malach learned with him. In other words, you have a treasure, this is what Chofetz Chaim explains it, you have a treasure inside of you. Your neshama stood on Har Sinai, and your neshama, the Rashi used to say, David should give us a maton of Bayin Yofu, who knows it. So if you'd learn only a small part, but your neshama was makabel, you'll be a Gaon. So everyone has in him an oisa. Every one of us, everyone here has in him a treasure, but you have to work hard just to bring it out. You know, the Titanic, they're still going, you know, wherever these big ships sank, now they have all kinds of new things, you know, for metal detectors, and they're still spending millions of dollars looking for treasure. They did find something recently from the Titanic. They found a bottle of wine. It still had the cork in it. I don't know if anyone would take a chance drinking it, but they found that they found coins, they found diamonds, and all kinds of things. They're looking for treasure. People spend millions of dollars. Maybe they'll find, you know, with Captain Kidd's treasure. That was the old legend. Where the pirates had a certain island. They said that's where the pirates hid all. And people are looking and looking and looking for years. They didn't find anything yet, but they spend who knows how much money. So every one of us has a treasure in us, yeah? And it's easy to get it out of you. You don't have to take a metal detector. You don't have to go on ships and submarines that go with these deep sea divers. You have it in you. It's part of you. You just have to work hard to bring it out. Let me end with a pasuk and a pshat from the Malbim. It says, Orech Chayim, the way of life, Ka'or Noiga, is like the light. Nagoi means when the first rays of sun come up. Hoylech Va'or, and it lights ad nechayin hayoyim. When is the sun at its strongest? At midday. So he says pshat like this. There's an oirach and there's a derech. If you find in Chazal, it says b'derech hamelech. Derech means like a big superhighway. Oirach means a little path, like you go in the country, you go by a mountain, it's a little path. It says oirach hayim, when you start, kor noiga. You only see a little bit light, like the first rays of sunshine. And it goes slow, and it goes hard, and you don't see yourself really getting the where you want to be. But if you'll keep doing Erech Noig, a little path, and a little bit light, it's Muftach Hoylech V'or. It'll get lighter and lighter Ad Nechaim Hayoyim. In other words, if you work hard in the beginning, it doesn't go easy. But if you work, you'll be Zoicha to get there. In fact, we should be Zoicha Molar Teyes Hashem, B'yeskal Tzedem, wherever you may know me.